So, name 52. Twashta. This is the name of a Vedic deity that means he's praised in the hymns of the Vedas. He's also a person who appears in the text of the Bhagavatam as the father of Vishwarup, who was killed by Indra. But it's, as with many names, is originally the name of Vishnu. There's even a demon mentioned in Bhagavatam and elsewhere by the name Hayagriva, which is one of the forms of Vishnu. It means Hayagriva means who has a horse's neck or a horse's head. So Vishnu has in one form, and so does one demon. Madhu is the name of Krishna. It's also a name of a demon who Krishna killed. So you have to know who we're talking about here. This name Twashta, it is derived from the root Tvaksh, which means to pair, P-A-R-E, means to very slowly, or in very small pieces, wear something down, or just similarly to chisel something with a chisel and hammer and chisel, a sculpture can be prepared. So Parashara Bhatta, the Ramanuja Sampradaya commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, he says that this means that Bhagawan has chiseled different elements, he has produced so many finely shaped forms, or explicitly state forms. Demigods, men, birds, plants, insects, etc. And this is called Twashta. Parashara Bhatta, he quotes the Taittiriya Aranyaka in this regard, Twashtaram Rupani Vikurabantam Vipaschitam. Shankaracharya, whose commentary is also generally in all the, at least in the modern explanations of Vishnu Sahasranam, even the Vaishnavas, they use Shankara's commentary, because after all Shankara is a Vaishnava, and so his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam is also acceptable if it's not understood in a Mayavad way. So Shankara, he uses the same root, one who pairs everything down or reduces everything, to mean something just the opposite. But both meanings are quite acceptable for Vishnu. That means he gradually reduces everything, and at the time of the cosmic dissolution, everything is finished. So, the same name, same derivation, but a quite opposite understanding. In one way, by chiseling the forms, he produces them. In another way, by chiseling them, he reduces them to nothing. Another meaning of given for Twashta is he whose form is handsome and splendid. Another meaning is he who makes large things small, which leads us into the next name. That relates with the next name. Parashara Bhatta, in his commentary, he relates the names one after another. He puts them in groups, not that they're just... He doesn't see that they're just arbitrarily put together, but he sees that one name after another relates with each other. So another reading of this is Dvashta. We sometimes find that in Shastra, that one letter is changed, which can give a different meaning. Can or cannot. We see that in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad in the original Sanskrit is usually, the name is written Prahrad. The L is changed for a R, which doesn't change the meaning, because some letters can be interchanged in Sanskrit. That's why we have the Gopi, Induleka, Indureka can be called either. It means the same thing. Like that. So, Dvashta means the destroyer. He who destroys everything. So, Krishna, he destroys everything. He creates everything. Grishishnu, Prabhavishnucha. He devours everything. He generates everything. So that's one name for Vishnu, Dvashta, the destroyer. So the next name is Stvavishta, which means who is extremely large or very solid and strong. So that relates with that previous interpretation, one who makes large things small. Now, Krishna is so extraordinarily big in his big forms that what we think of as big is small compared to him. This huge planet, never mind the planet, we can't see the planet, but if we see mountains, then we become awed. There are no real mountains anywhere there are called mountains in Scotland. They have some mountains in Ireland. I think they call them mountains, but they're just like over little hills or something. If you see the Alps, they're real mountains. Prabhupada, when he was flying over them, he said that these go up to the next Varsha. That Satsrup Maharaj, he recorded that. What does it mean? I don't know. Prabhupada saw something we didn't see. We see the Himalayas, they're real mountains. I mean, they make the Alps look small. Prabhupada similarly, flying over the Andes, he said that this huge mountain range, almost the length of one continent. And Prabhupada said that they don't know, they haven't charted, they don't know what's going on here. So there may be so many things going on. But anyway, the hills, they're so far, if you see from a distance, if you're driving in Nepal and the Tarai, the part before the Himalayas, and you can see the Himalayas coming up ahead, and they're quite awesome for those who are not used to seeing. The people who see them every day don't think anything about it. But it's quite awesome as being so huge, or the sea, seeing the sea for the first time. It's quite awesome how vast it is when you've maybe seen some river. Is the Liffey the biggest river in Ireland? Shannon must be, yeah. So if you're used to some village stream and you see the Shannon, you might think, oh, that's a big river. And then you see the sea and it looks so big. But then if you consider even the Himalayas compared to this planet, they only occupy a small area. And if you consider this planet, within the universe it's so small. Just like even the whole universe is like a mustard seed. There's so many in a bag of mustard seeds. And Krishna generates them all. So Krishna makes even the very big things from our estimation seem very small. He's so big. And he's so small also. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan. Now these scientists say they've discovered the Higgs boson. Not that Higg created it, but he imagined it, or he formulated it was there. We're supposed to believe the scientists because they say they discovered it. We know what... so small. It's something very small. But they can go and find smaller and smaller and smaller, but they won't find Krishna, because you can't find him by any such means of, by any scientific experiments. One cannot find Krishna because he's so small, and you can't find him because he's so large also. Just like if an ant is crawling on an elephant, the ant doesn't know he's on an elephant. For him, it's just some other surface. The elephant is too big for him to recognize as being a distinct living being. The earth, for that matter, is also, we think of the earth as being inanimate, but she is Bhumi Devi. But we can only see a little bit. The earth is so vast, we can't imagine it. So we're so small, we can't imagine how great is Krishna. So this name Stavishta, it means he. Sthula means matter, or that which is gross, and Ishta. So one who desired to be large, which that name can be said for Vamana. He was very small and he became very big. Or Varahadev, he came out of the nostril of Brahma, very small, and became very big. Matsya came up in the hand of Satyavrata Muni, and within one night, he was gradually getting bigger and bigger until only the ocean was big enough to accommodate him. So he who desired to be large, Parashara Bhatta says that this name refers to the manifestation of Bhagavan as the Brahmanda, that he is the universe. So, everything is within him. He creates innumerable universes by his inconceivable potency. Each universe is tiny in comparison to him. However, we can't imagine how big it is. So how much more unimaginable is Vishnu? If something's unimaginable, can something be more unimaginable? It's unimaginable, it's unimaginable. But even more, just like that Brahma, he says that even if someone could count all the atoms in the universe, which they can't, but even if they could, you couldn't count the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So even if someone could, in their intelligence, scope the universe, Brahma, he can do that. His intelligence is such that he can accommodate the whole universe and the size of it and the workings of it within his intelligence. So we can imagine how much more in mental capacity Brahma has than us. But then Brahma, he also says that I can't understand Krishna. If anyone thinks they can, well, good luck to them. Jananta eva janantu kimbahu janame prabhu. Manaso vapaso vacha vaibhavam tavako chara. He says to Krishna that someone may say, or someone may think, that they know everything about you. Well, let them think like that. But as far as I'm concerned, and again, it's the somewhat sarcastic way of speaking, because no one has got brain capacity or intelligence in this universe. No one has got intelligence anywhere near the level of Brahma. He says that as far as I'm concerned, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's grandeur is far beyond my capacity to think about, conceptualize, speak about, such as Krishna. Stula also means gross or fat. So that could be understood that way. Krishna is the supreme gross, or Krishna is the supreme fat. Now we may think that's very strange, but then, well, Krishna's supreme in everything. So he can be the supreme gross also. If you want to be gross, Krishna can be gross with you also. Tana hang dushita kruran sansareshu. Naradhamang shipyami ajasamashuram asarishveva yonishu. For those who act in a gross, demoniac way, Krishna chucks them into hell. I guess that's pretty gross. So, Krishna is the... You want to be nasty? Well, Krishna can be nasty with you too. The supreme fat, corpulent. That's a nice way of saying fat. Pleasantly plump. So, Krishna, whatever, supreme fat, supreme thin, supreme tall, supreme short. Krishna is supreme everything. And he's also in between also. He's not that he's only in the extremes, he is in the middle, he's everything. So another name of Krishna, there's now name 54, Sthavira, which means big, solid, strong. You see, all these names are related, but they have similar meanings, and they also have subtle, slightly different meanings also. So the name Sthavira, it also means one who has always existed. Therefore, he is the older than the oldest, old, venerable, respectable. This is derived from stha, tishtati, which means to stand or to exist. So this signifies that Bhagavan Vishnu, he is not constrained by time. This creation goes through the cycles. The creation itself, there's Srishti, Sthiti, Pralay. Sthiti means existence. So there's creation, existence of the universe for some time, and destruction. And within this universe also, everything goes through that. Some things exist for a very long time, like the mountains. Some things exist for a very short time, just like some insects, they hatch out of an egg in the just after nightfall. They have their whole life, they reproduce, and they die before the sunrise. So a very short existence. But everything goes through this cycle, creation, maintenance, destruction. But Krishna himself is beyond that. He's beyond the influence of time. So Sthavira, that means very solid. Many of these names they're similar, but they have subtle nuances of difference. Just like the name has already been given, Achala, one who doesn't move. So like that, Krishna is very solid, strong, which means he's dependable. He's not subject to the control of everything else, which is another meaning of him being Ishvara or Prabhu, the master. He's not under the control of anyone or anything. He remains as he is, uninfluenced by anything else. Of course, many of these names, they have to be, especially in consideration of Krishna's relationship with his devotees, these names have to be understood in a different way. Because if we say that Krishna, he is unmovable, unchangeable, but then no one can conquer him, Ajita. But then all this becomes modified by prem, by love for Krishna, by which he who is unconquerable is conquered. As Lord Brahma also stated, Ajita Jita, that was, he becomes conquered by those who do what? They hear about him and dedicate themselves to serving him. That famous verse is this, Tane Stita Shutigatang Tanuvagmanobi Ye Prayasho Jita Jitopi Apitai Strilokya. So he who is unconquerable becomes conquered by bhakti. Now, this name, Sthavira, in Shankara's commentary is joined with the next name. In other words, this is in the verse, it comes Sthavira, Sthavira Dhruvaha. So Shankara takes that as one name, whereas Parashara Bhatta takes that as two names, which means that Shankara later has to split the Sanskrit in another way, which is all quite acceptable. So Dhruva means fixed, firm, immovable, motionless. The Dhruva star is there. It's called the pole star in English, or the north star. The star that doesn't move. All the planets, they rotate around the Dhruva star. So that Dhruva, that name means who is fixed and firm. Because the meanings are quite similar, then Shankara, he takes Sthavira Dhruva to be one name, but Parashara Bhatta, he takes them as different names. So Dhruva means fixed, firm, like this. Another meaning, or fixed, firm, immovable, motionless, but another nuance of that is who is unaffected by time, who is unchanging, who is permanent, in other words, who is eternal. So from this description, we can understand that although time destroys everything, Vishnu preserves. So the time factor, that who is Vishnu, that is the factor which destroys everything. And that which prevents time destroying everything immediately is Vishnu again, as the preserver. He's both the preserver and the destroyer. And according to how he exerts his potency in different times and places and circumstances, therefore we see preservation or destruction. And because his potency is manifested in different living beings, therefore there can be preservation, there can be more tendency toward preservation or more tendency toward destruction. If there's a good king who's properly representing Vishnu, then he will maintain law and order and peace and stability in the state. If there's some tyrant, then everything will be disturbed, everyone will be in fear, he will rule by force and by destroying. So they both have the tyrant and the pious king, they have whatever potency they have comes from Vishnu. Although the tyrant is, because all potency comes from Vishnu, but the tyrant is acting in a manner that is not pleasing to Vishnu, even though they may be an agent of Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada stated in one part that people like Hitler and Napoleon, they're also agents of Vishnu in one way, and they come to effect the destruction of thousands and millions of people. So there's a plan in that. Not that they are godly, but they're imbued with a certain potency to perform the destruction of various demons who require or deserve to be destroyed. And if we say this, people in general become extremely upset. Just like I read in Back to Godhead magazine some years ago that the then manager of the England soccer team, whose name was Glenn Hoddle, there have been so many of them, but I remember this because it came in Back to Godhead, and I remember years ago when I was a kid, he was a footballer. So he believed in reincarnation, and then some newspaper reporter, in the course of interviewing him about the England soccer team, asked him, say, hey, you believe in reincarnation? Yeah, so you believe that crippled people, they did something wrong in their past life? And Glenn Hoddle said yes, and that was the end of his England soccer team managership, because the whole country went up against him. How can you be so cruel? How can you say they did something wrong? And just completely rejecting that it's anything but chance that they ended up being crippled, or whatever they're called nowadays. First, when I was a kid, they were called spastics, then they became physically handicapped, and then it's called physically challenged. And I saw something else, differently oriented or something like that. They're trying to be nice in so many ways by not recognizing the fact that they're crippled. They don't want to use that word because somehow or other they think it's unkind to do so. So, yeah, it can be very difficult to explain some of these things. If we say that Hitler was an agent of the Supreme Lord, people might become, for killing people who deserve to be killed by their karma, I mean, it will become very, very upset, and it's probably not wise to make that the prime point of our preaching, although it's there in Srimad Bhagavatam, which we distribute. So, Dhruva is eternal. What's some more about this? Yeah, Dhruva, here is the name of Vishnu. Dhruva, the boy who became the king of the universe, is of course referred to in Srimad Bhagavatam. When we think of Dhruva, we usually think of the great devotee, Dhruva, who started off as a materialist, a little boy with very big desires, who was directed by his mother to meditate on Vishnu, who Narad Muni instructed in the process of meditation on Vishnu, and who ultimately became a great devotee. But this name is originally a name of, as all names, a name of Vishnu himself. So this this name is derived from the root dhra, which means to carry, maintain, to preserve, to be eternal, to be immovable. Stirat vat dhruvaha, that which is stira, that which is unmoving, that is called dhruva. So that, again, that you see how it fits with the previously mentioned name. So this name signifies that while time keeps moving, he's unchanging. Everything else is changing, he remains the same. So again, that gives us this understanding, these qualities of Vishnu, and discussing them gives us impetus to take shelter of him, because everything in this world is changing and moving, and the king of today is the dog of tomorrow, or maybe vice versa. Whatever situation we're in, we're on quicksand, or we're on thin ice, which is our whole situation is going to be shattered inevitably. Whatever situation we have, it won't last. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then we enter the realm of eternity. Krishna's pastimes are going on eternally. When we hear about Krishna's pastimes, they're not historical in the sense that we hear about, well, there was Amandavalira and all these different people. They came, they were born at a certain date and they died at a certain date. Probably the Poles have never heard of Amandavalira. You ever heard of Amandavalira? You have to, well, he's from the Republic of Ireland. I guess we shouldn't talk about him here. But this is a Catholic area. He was one of the, it's famous in Ireland only. They probably teach about him in the history books. He was one of the freedom fighters who had a tryst with a piece of rope around his neck for his freedom fighting. So, local hero, like that. In Czech Republic, there must be local heroes who no one ever heard of elsewhere also. You know, outside of Ireland, I don't think anyone ever heard of the River Boyne, but it's the Battle of the Boyne. That's what keeps the Irish spirits running on. I don't even know if people know that it's a river. They just heard of the Battle of the Boyne. So, yeah, everything in this world will change. Whatever we think is very important won't last. But Krishna stays the same. So Krishna is worth taking shelter. We should take shelter of him. He is unchanging. He's older than the oldest. Hare Krishna. That's all I'm going to speak on now. If there are any questions about this. You can ask. This commentaries on Vishnu Sahasranam, it's still quite common in the Madhva and Sri Vaishnav Sampradayas that those who have the capacity to listen, they'll come every day and listen, and it'll go on for some months like this. I've seen in Udupi, there's one pundit giving commentary. Some people come, they come and listen every day. They like to hear the qualities of Vishnu. In the modern Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya also, this Velaguri Krishna, he's also. You can get CD in a whole pack of CDs of his lectures on Vishnu Sahasranam. So it's a medium to glorify the qualities of Krishna. And of course, still many people chant it daily, and in this way meditate on the qualities of Vishnu. You may be saying, why Vishnu? Why not Krishna? Well, stay tuned in. It's two names from now in Vishnu Sahasranama. Agrahyo Krishna in the next verse. So, yeah, any question, comment? No. All right. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nitai. Jai Sri Sri Radha Govinda.